This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message entitled Contentment, Part 1, was delivered on March 13, 2022. Here now is Pastor Scott.
With them, Lord. Father, we thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing, even right here in New Hope, East Hawaii. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Oh, that was like the fastest announcements ever. Wow. You didn't pick that because you know I never have nothing, yeah? He now a pastor for nothing. He's smart. Yeah. Whew! I smell food. Right. Hey, Michael and Donna, I got your baptism certificates because you wasn't here last week, but they're in my office, so I'll get them to you soon, but their family of four got baptized the other week. Yeah. And at any time, if you feel like the urge to get baptized, you just let us know. We'll make an arrangement. I think I'll do anything to get out of my office and get down to the beach. Yeah? So, you know, if at any time, because we do this like 2-3 times a year, if any time you want to, or the Lord's saying, get baptized, and let us know. All right, look, we are saying good morning to our online friends, Brother Kirk, Mel, Shelby Lawrence, Luann, Vivian. Good morning, all. Sometimes Marsha joins us from California. It's good to have you guys joining us online. Thank you for being there. Good morning, Brother Gary. But for those of you who live on the island, and if you guys can make it back to service, we are open, and because they're dropping a lot of the restrictions, you are welcome to come back. We would love to see you here. Amen?
Yeah.
Ooh, hey, so when I thought of this message, when God put this on my heart, I think I was thinking about me a lot, you know, finding contentment. You know, as you know, my iPhone is a 7. My kids tell me, Dad, we're on 13, you know. And I thought, you know, well, that's pretty good because it lasted all those years and I'm doing pretty good. But then I had lunch with Brother Rico the other day and the bugger has a 5. And it's like this big and it's all beat up. And he was like, yeah, it doesn't hold a charge anymore. It's like, wow, that guy's content with his 5. And I was thinking like, I need to upgrade my 7. But maybe I don't need to upgrade my 7. Man, see, how many of you got the 13? Yeah, okay. You guys got to be content with that for the next 20 years, okay? Yeah. It's funny because we talk about, you know, being content. And if you have your phone and you go say, hey, Siri, what does contentment mean? She'll tell you, like, satisfied. And, you know, we look at the world, it seems like the more people get, the more they want. You know, I gotta tell you, I am no exception to that. If you look backstage, they're getting ready for a garage sale. And you can take 2 steps in here and it's full, back here and in the back. And, you know, people buy stuff and then they don't have room for stuff. And they get rid of stuff to make room for more stuff. Really. And so I like tools. Right? And my dad had a lot of tools. And so I think I learned to acquire tools over the years. And I have experienced that if you have the right tool for the right job, things are so much easier. I mean, you ever, anybody work on cars out here? You ever tried taking off a snap ring with pliers and a screwdriver? I was like, gosh, come on. I mean, if you're a doctor, you ever tried doing surgery with a kitchen knife? I wouldn't go to see you. You know, you gotta have the right tools for the right job. Granted, when I worked at HPM, a lot of the tools came free. That's why I loved that job so much. You know, and but there was a time a season in my life where I wanted to just go out and buy every tool that I could get, so that just that, because I had more tools and I wanted more, you know. And I have my office located right in the StoreQuest facility. I see cars going in and out all day with stuff. I mean, they're storing stuff. And I think you're like, wow. You know, unless you're gonna get it in and out quick, you're just paying for stuff all over again. And you know, when the lava was coming, there was a line out the door to get a space to store people's stuff. Granted, they was trying to get out of harm's way. I think if the lava was coming towards your house, what would the first thing that you would grab from your house? Your pictures? Your weapons. Fred, your golf clubs, right? I would grab my tools because I even know I have to rebuild the houses. But, you know, a lot of times after Christmas, we see people bringing all their Christmas decorations, they store it for another year. It's like, man, you better just sell it and buy new ones next year because you're paying for it all over again anyway. You know, we get stuff and we put it in storage to make room for the new stuff. I mean, sometimes we just need to learn, man, I don't need it, or I should be happy with what I have. You know, about 8 years ago, our Foursquare National Conference was in Orlando. And that's when I bought my first pair of boots. Man, and it was so comfortable. And now I have 6 pairs of boots, but I only have 2 feet. Sometimes I think I should have caught on that contentment thing after the first pair, because if you know boots are not cheap. You know, they're like more than $150, some of them. I think my cheapest one was $150. And now I have 6, I really cannot say anything about all my wife's shoes, right? Because I have turned into that. I should have learned to be happy with 1 pair. But then I wouldn't be able to match my clothes with my red shirt with my red boots, my gray shirt with my gray boots, my black boots for everything else, my white boots when we wear white, you know. But then if I didn't buy them, then I couldn't use my failures as an example, right? I mean, I could pick on James, you know, because I think he must have like 10, 20 coolers, something. I could pick on Doc because he has sound equipment, like most of the stuff here is his, but which is good. You know, but that's not it. Here it is, and I need to learn contentment, you know, in buying boots. So when I went to the mainland this past early February, I went to a boot barn. Yeah, I went to a boot barn, and you would have been proud because I walked out with nothing, not even a shirt. Of course, you know, I wanted those patriotic shirts with the We the People or the flag or the eagle, but I said, no, I'm good. I have 4 drawers of t-shirts, so I don't need any more. I like to buy kitchen stuff because I like to cook. And I need to say, okay, I have everything I need, so I don't need anything else. I like to buy stuff for my car to make it all pretty and, you know, just fancier and just able to go places where most of your trucks would not go. Sometimes I buy a new tool when I need it. Sometimes I say I'm going to buy a tool, and I walk in the store, I look at it, I say, nah, and then I walk out, and it's like, yes, I did good. But there's places in my life that I'm not going to be content. That is church and spiritual growth. I cannot stay where I am in my relationship, but I need to keep growing. So, in the scriptures, in Timothy, Paul writes this, godliness plus contentment equals great gain. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 10, it says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. Okay? So I cannot take my tools with me. I cannot take my fishing poles. I cannot take my boots. I mean, you can bury me with my boots on, but it's not coming with me. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. We shall be satisfied. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it has wandered away from the faith and pierced himself with many griefs. So here in Timothy, in the previous verses, they describe the flaws of some false teachers. And these flaws include aspects of bickering, greed, hard-heartedness. Envy was also mentioned. False teachers is often seeking to gain what others may have. And in verses 6 to 10 are kind of like an explanation of a Christian's proper view of wealth in contrast with sinful lives and desires of for profit by false teachers. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Godliness is a theme throughout 1 Timothy and is mentioned a bunch of times. And contentment is a theme Paul also develops elsewhere. For example, in Philippians, he says, not that I speak of being in need. You guys remember this. For I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. You know, if he had a little, he was content. If he had a lot, he had content. Because he knew that God would supply all of his needs. So the idea is literally that of a large or wonderful gain or advantage, whatever he had, he was happy, he was satisfied to live with. You know, being content. And sometimes it's not easy. Last night, I had a salad for dinner. Yeah, victory sometimes. And I really wasn't content. You know, I had spinach on the bottom. I had some red lettuce, some manioc lettuce on the top. I had some beets, I like beets. Yeah, and then this is the bad part. I put cheese on top and dressing and some cucumbers. And it was like, I had food, right? I should have been content. But it was like, kind of like, oh well, that's going to have to be what it is, because I went, you know, this last 3 weeks or so, I had a dermatology appointment. I had an eye doctor appointment. I had an oncology appointment. I had a dentist appointment. I had my general checkup appointment. It's like, man, it sucks to get old. It does. But the good news is when I went to my general doctor, my A1C went from 8.1 to 7.1. But I cannot be content. I still got to work on it. That's why I think you're like, I don't know how long this salad thing is going to work, but you guys got to seriously pray for me. Yeah. I mean, I got to learn to be content in everything, with the boots that I have, the tools that I have, the food that I get. It's like, wow, Lord, thank you for the salad, because salad costs more than chicken and anything else. So we're going to go over, this week we're going to look at what contentment is not. And next we're going to look what contentment is. So number one, contentment is not an excuse to remain stagnant. God's desire for us is to grow and mature in knowledge and faith in Him. In 2 Peter 3:18, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." In Hebrews 5:11-12, concerning Him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, not solid food. So here we see people not growing. They're stagnant. The writer of Hebrews seems kind of harsh to these guys, to his listeners, but these people became content with their tradition and where they were at in their maturity, in their relationship. They were stagnant, and they stayed immature, and they failed to grow. And sad to say, there are many out there who remain in a state of immaturity. Unable to teach, unable to serve, lead, they have become comfortable in this position. This is not contentment. Number two, contentment is not an excuse to continue living in sin. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to remove sin from our lives. In Hebrews 12, 1 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." It's a battle. The Christian life involves hard work, intentionality in getting up, reading, intentionality in praying. It requires us to give up whatever endangers our relationship with God. We need to run with endurance and battle against sin with the power of the Holy Spirit. To live effectively, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Look at what Paul wrote to the Romans. "What shall we say then? Are we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" Yet many of us believe that certain struggles that we have with temptation and sin will always be there. You know, is temptation to eat you sit down and you eat a whole bag of chips, a whole pint of Häagen-Dazs. I mean, it's easy to do. Some people think that, oh, well, certain struggles is going to be there all the time. We've accepted that. We found a way to kind of just live with it. That's not contentment. Sometimes I can sit and I would dare to eat a bag of chips. And that's not hard to do. A whole pint of Häagen-Dazs. That's not hard to do. In fact, I have a bowl of candy in my office, and man, I will eat one or two and that's it. Before it would be 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe throughout the day. But it's like no more. I just will have maybe after a meal I have one because just that sweetness is good. So, you know, finding a way to, oh, it's part of life, my tempting, that's not contentment. Number three, contentment is not an excuse to be lazy. I have those days. Get up in the morning, turn on the news ends up into a game show, the game show ends up into sports, sports, and next thing you know, oh, it's 4 o'clock, it's the evening news. What did I do with my, I hate those days, even though God tells me to rest, I hate those days. I don't feel like I accomplished anything for the Lord. Maybe he needed me to rest and recharge. But on my day off, and this may not seem right because it's my day off, my Sabbath, my recharge day. On my day off, I like to get up early in the morning, get my tools all out, and then I look at my watch, and because I don't want to make noise before 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock in 1 second, fire up the saws and everything, and I work, and I end up with sawdust in my face, in my eyes, and covered in the garage floor. And at the end of the day, at 6 o'clock when I'm cleaning up, and my watch goes beep, 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 beep. Oh, you have 9 active hours and 10,000 steps. And I take a shower, and I'm all achy and sorry. I was like, yeah, I did something with this day that God has given me. And I feel recharged because something I enjoy doing. Not that I don't enjoy my regular job doing church work, because I love that too. It's hard, but I think I have a really wonderful life because something that God built into me, I get joy from serving others and it fills my cup. So contentment is not an excuse to be lazy. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever you put your hands, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Yes. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in show where you are going. You and I, we need to be hardworking. At our jobs, in our home, in our church, we need to be hardworking. And yet many are lazy and are not willing to accept the consequences of refusing to work hard. Okay, so when we get lazy, you can say, oh, I'm resting. Or maybe it is you're resting, but this is not contentment. And I'm going to show you some examples of some leaders in the Bible who kind of like, accomplish much, and then they said, oh, it's good, man. Life is good. I got it good. The first one comes from 2 Chronicles 26:15. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war, invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. You might want to underline that. Trivia question, who was that? Who was that? Who? Who? No, good job. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Here it is. After God gave Uzziah great prosperity and power, he was like, oh, yeah. He seemed to get complacent, maybe even content with his success. So much so that he no longer depended on God. Man, I depend on God so much. You know, every Saturday night when I got to speak Sunday morning, I pop out of bed at midnight or before or during the morning. I toss and turn and I cry out to the Holy Spirit, like, I got to speak on Sunday. Whew! You guys may think it's easy. It's not. And I cry out to God all throughout the moments that I toss and turn. And I cry out, Holy Spirit, man, I need you. I really do need you. I cannot do this on my own. And I've been doing this for, 14 years or maybe longer, and I still cry out to him every time I gotta get up here. Whew, because if I did it on my own power, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. I'm sorry because I'm not strong. So God gave Uzziah great prosperity and power, and then he got complacent and no longer dependent on God. Because look at, in 2 Chronicles 26:5, we go back. This is how we started. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding to the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. So in our spiritual growth, man, we cannot say, oh, I read the Bible 20 times through, cover to cover. I am good. I know it. The more you read the Bible, the more you realize you don't know that much. Every time you read it, you're thinking like, the more I read it and the more I think I understand it, the more I realize that I don't know it and I don't understand it, and I gotta keep doing it. And another example, look at King David. He fell into this trap. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle. Kings go out to battle. That David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all Israel, and destroyed the son of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. He was supposed to be at battle, but I will go send the other guys and I'll kick back. You know, David did so much in claiming the promised land, and now we see him feeling content by not going to war. When kings went to war, he decided to stay back home. And if you are familiar with the story of David, you know what happened when he stayed home, right? What happened? He was on his roof and he seen Bathsheba. Oh, if he went to war where he was supposed to be, he wouldn't have fallen to that. You know, you and I turned our lives around. We started coming to church, and we started planting good seeds. You know, and I've been planting good seeds for like 20 something years. And we've been harvesting good stuff now. The blessings, the abundance, the joy, you know, the peace. We've been harvesting all that. And God has been blessing us. And we may think, oh yes, we are there. But beware, we cannot be complacent or content. We cannot get lazy. We need to keep planting and growing until the day we die. And you know what I think? We keep planting. And we harvest along the way the blessings, the joy, the peace, the fruit of the Spirit, and maybe other physical blessings, material blessings we may get. But I think even after we die, maybe some of that blessings may fall on our children and our grandchildren. You know, we cannot be like, oh, okay, I'm good. I'm harvesting all these great seeds and I'm loving it. We cannot stop there. We got to keep moving forward. We cannot just say, oh, I'm good. We cannot do the minimum when it comes for God. The minimum praying, the minimum reading, the minimum serving, and be satisfied and check off that box. I went to church, okay, check off that box. I did this. I read one small chapter. I did this. I picked up a rubbish. I served. Oh, yeah. I feel good. You know, I did the minimum. And I think if we did the minimum, Man, I can't imagine when we prayed and we asked God for something. What if he gave us the minimum? You know, you go fishing and you catch the minimum. One fish. Then he said, be content. Yeah. You know, I mean, think about it. I try to give God the very best that I can. And I try not to be lazy when it comes to serving God. Sometimes I may try to take a shortcut now and then, and I hear that voice, hey, do things right, the right way, you know, the first time. Because if not, you're going to redo them again, right? You know that when you do things half donkey, God makes you do them again, right? You guys who read the King James, you guys know, right? Donkey. So imagine if God was lazy in answering our prayers. We wouldn't be happy. We shouldn't be lazy when it comes to the things of God. Okay? So contentment is not these things. Is not remaining stagnant. Is not continuing to live in sin. And it's not an excuse for us to be lazy. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. So next week, we are going to look at what contentment is. So I hope that you would come back. Or those of you online, I hope that you would get down here. Because you know what? The worship with all your brothers and sisters, man, it sounds so, so beautiful. And it's good. And if you guys need prayer, yeah, we can pray for you. We'd love to pray for you. If you want us to pray, you can fill out a prayer request. If you need a word of encouragement, let us know. Because I think we're all full of encouragement. And we'd love to give you that. Amen. I'm going to ask you at this time to bow your head and close your eyes as we pray. Maybe you need to find Jesus to learn how to be content. Maybe you need to ask him to be your Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. For those here, for those online, wherever, however far away you may be, it goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody here? Quiet. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that we would understand what contentment is not. And I pray that we would be back next week to learn how to be content in you and what you have blessed us with. So we thank you that we get to gather. And Lord, I pray that you would protect us from COVID-19 as we gather and as we worship you. Help us, Lord, not to be lazy. Help us not to be stagnant. Help us not to continue to live in sin and not be lazy. We thank you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, I did get a message on my phone to Michael and Donna and Kaya and Michael. Marsha, Donna's mom, said, congratulations on your baptism. She said, love you so much. Marsha, thank you for tuning in. Marsha tunes in from California, and when she's here, she does come to visit us. Good morning, AJ. Good morning, Wendy. We really do want you guys to come back. All right. Would you stand and join us as we... Man, I wish you guys out online could hear us singing.
You You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.